Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier is a classic, gothic-tinged psychological novel set against the imposing grandeur of Manderley, a great English country house haunted by the memory of its former mistress. The story follows a young, inexperienced woman who marries the wealthy widower Maxim de Winter and arrives at his estate expecting security and romance. Instead, she finds herself living in the long shadow of Rebecca, Maxim's first wife, whose beauty, charisma, and social authority seem to linger in every room. As the new Mrs. de Winter struggles with insecurity and isolation, the household's rigid expectations and the unnerving presence of Mrs. Danvers, Rebecca's fiercely loyal housekeeper, deepen the sense of menace. Du Maurier blends suspense, social observation, and intimate emotional tension, creating a narrative driven as much by internal fear as by external mystery. The result is a page-turning study of identity, power, and obsession that still feels unsettlingly modern. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a marriage built on imbalance and uncertainty. At the heart of the novel is a relationship defined by uneven power. A young woman with little social standing marries an older, wealthy man with a formidable past. Du Maurier uses this imbalance to explore how love can be complicated by dependence, secrecy, and self-doubt. The narrator's lack of confidence shapes how she interprets every gesture at Manderley, from casual remarks by servants to the formality of dinner rituals. Her desire to please often becomes self-erasure, as she tries to model herself on what she imagines a proper mistress of the house should be. Maxim's reserve, his reluctance to speak openly about his first marriage, and his authority within the estate create an emotional gap that the narrator struggles to cross. This tension fuels the suspense because the reader experiences Manderley through her anxious perspective, where silence feels like threat and tradition feels like judgment. The marriage becomes a lens for examining how class difference, age difference, and unspoken history can distort intimacy. The book's enduring power lies in how realistically it portrays the way insecurity can become a trap, making a person vulnerable to manipulation and to their own worst assumptions. Secondly, Manderley as a living symbol of memory and control, Manderley is not just a setting, but an engine of the story, embodying the weight of legacy and the politics of belonging. Its architecture, routines, and social expectations create an environment where the new Mrs. de Winter feels like a guest in her own home. Du Maurier presents the estate as a place curated by the past, where rooms, objects, and even daily schedules appear arranged to preserve Rebecca's influence. The narrator's attempts to inhabit the space reveal how environments can enforce hierarchy, servants guard tradition, visitors assume continuity, and the estate itself seems to resist change. This dynamic turns domestic life into psychological warfare, as the narrator equates competence with worthiness and mistakes with disgrace. Manderley also highlights the theme of performance. Being mistress of a grand house requires public confidence, social fluency, and command, qualities the narrator believes she lacks. Her struggle shows how power can be embedded in spaces and rituals, making it difficult for newcomers to claim authority. The estate thus becomes a metaphor for memory's tyranny. The past is preserved, displayed, and defended, while the present is forced to compete. The result is claustrophobic suspense, where every corridor and gathering seems to judge, and where the fear of not measuring up becomes as threatening as any external danger. Thirdly, Rebecca as an unseen rival and a manufactured ideal. One of the novel's most striking achievements is that Rebecca dominates the story without direct presence. She becomes a constructed figure assembled from reputation, whispers, and the narrator's imagination. This creates a powerful commentary on how myths are built, especially around charismatic individuals, and how those myths can be weaponized. For the narrator, Rebecca is less a person than a standard she cannot meet, confident, sophisticated, and seemingly perfect. The more the household reinforces that image, the more the narrator's identity shrinks. Du Maurier uses this dynamic to explore comparison as a form of control. When someone is constantly measured against an ideal, they become easier to intimidate and easier to isolate. Rebecca's aura also exposes social fascination with glamour and dominance, and how communities can protect a narrative because it supports their own sense of order. Importantly, the novel encourages readers to question the reliability of public images. A reputation may conceal contradictions, and the most admired figure may also be the least understood. By centering an absent character as a psychological force, Du Maurier shows how obsession can flourish in the gaps of knowledge. The tension comes from the narrator's need to uncover truth, not only about Rebecca but about her own place in a world that keeps insisting she does not belong. Fourthly, Mrs. Danvers and the machinery of manipulation. Mrs. Danvers functions as more than a sinister antagonist. She represents devotion turned coercive, grief turned predatory, and loyalty turned into a system of intimidation. Her authority at Manderley is subtle but pervasive, rooted in her mastery of the household and her intimate connection to Rebecca's legacy. Du Maurier portrays manipulation here not as loud aggression but as calculated influence, a look, a comment, a carefully staged reminder of the past. Mrs. Danvers understands the narrator's insecurity and exploits it, guiding her toward humiliations and reinforcing the idea that she will never be a rightful mistress. This relationship underscores a broader theme. Emotional vulnerability can be used as leverage, especially in closed environments where the victim lacks allies. The power struggle is also about narrative control. Mrs. Danvers tries to ensure that only one story about Rebecca survives and that the narrator remains trapped inside it. The suspense intensifies because the manipulation often occurs in private, leaving the narrator unsure whether she is overreacting or truly threatened. Through Mrs. Danvers, the novel explores how devotion can become obsession and how obsession can become cruelty. The character embodies the haunting quality of the book. The past does not merely linger, it actively attacks, using the living as instruments. Lastly, secrets, truth, and the unraveling of appearances. As the plot advances, the book shifts from social unease into sharper mystery, focusing on what is hidden beneath polished surfaces. Du Maurier structures suspense around partial knowledge. The narrator knows less than the household suggests, and Maxime's silence creates a vacuum filled by rumor. This design mirrors real-life dynamics where secrecy breeds anxiety, and where appearances are protected because they serve status and stability. The novel also examines how truth can be disruptive, forcing characters to confront uncomfortable realities about love, morality, and self-image. When the past is investigated, the reader sees how quickly society can pivot from admiration to judgment, revealing the fragility of reputation. Importantly, the narrator's journey is not only about discovering external facts, but also about forming an adult sense of self. The unraveling of Manderley's carefully maintained story challenges her earlier assumptions and compels her to reevaluate what she feared, what she desired, and what she believed about her marriage. The tension between public performance and private reality becomes central, showing how people can be trapped by the roles they play. In this way, the book's mystery is inseparable from its psychological depth. Uncovering what happened is also a process of understanding how power operates, how narratives are constructed, and how a person might reclaim agency when the world has been telling them who they are. In conclusion, this book is ideal for readers who enjoy psychological suspense, gothic atmosphere, and character-driven drama, where tension grows from social pressure as much as from mystery. It will especially resonate with anyone interested in themes of identity, insecurity, and the subtle ways power is exercised inside relationships and institutions. Rebecca can benefit a reader's life by sharpening awareness of how comparisons and reputations can distort perception, and how silence and secrecy can undermine trust. The narrator's experience illustrates the importance of self-definition and of questioning narratives that others insist are true. Compared with many similar classics, the novel stands out for its tight pacing and its immersive point of view, which makes the emotional stakes feel immediate and intensely personal. It also offers a layered reading experience. On the surface, a gripping story of a new wife navigating a hostile household, and beneath that, an examination of class anxiety, performance, and the persistence of the past. The prose and structure have influenced countless later thrillers and domestic suspense novels, yet the book remains distinctive for how elegantly it blends romance, dread, and psychological realism. For readers seeking a memorable, rereadable classic, it is worth buying as both entertainment and a study in atmosphere and character. If you would like to support Daphne Du Maurier, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.